it's not hard to see who's at work trying to distract us and defeat us. But God created this world, and it's His world. And He still has a plan. And as Christians, we can't get discouraged when we see evil around us and think that, you know, the darkness is too dark, because God's light is greater than the darkness that's in the world. This week, when Donna was leading our prayer time on the phone, in her prayer, she prayed to God, because He's the beginning and the end, and He had a plan in the very beginning how the world was going to end. And I just praise God for having that plan. And like I said, God created everything, and His plan is not complete, and God is not done yet. That was the title of my sermon, kind of a little all over the place, but this is kind of new to me too. But the title I'd like to share is God's Not Done Yet. I'm not sure how many sports fans are here, but the Eagles, when they had their great Super Bowl year, after every victory as the season was going on, the coach would come out and give his speech, and he said, "We're not done," and then the whole team yelled, "Yet." So, God's not done yet. So, like I said, the darkness that's in the world just seems to be overwhelming at times. If you look at how many people are missing today, you could get discouraged and look at that and almost be cynical if we focus on the negative in the world. Sometimes it's easy to become cynical, and when we become cynical, the problem with that is our hearts become hard. We kind of close off the world as a coping mechanism, or say, you know, that person is so far lost, he's, you know, like he cannot be reached, and we get cynical and our hearts get hardened, and we lose the hope and the concern for mankind that God would want us to have as Christians. And as Christians, we have the hope that this world needs, the Holy Spirit that's in us. If we don't take that to the world, they have no hope of even finding the hope. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and Jesus called Himself the light of the world, He called Himself many things, and appropriately so, but one of the things He called Himself was the light of the world. He called Himself the bread of the world, the bread of life. But the darkness is defeated. Satan is defeated in this world, even though the darkness seems to be overwhelming at times. God has won the battle. And Jesus, when He mentioned and called Himself the light of the world, when He was born that day, you know, we celebrate Christmas in a couple weeks, the star was in the sky. It lit up the sky. Intelligent people of that time saw the star and said, "Something's different." The light of the world, Jesus, came into the world at that time and brought the light with Him. And that's what we have. We have the light, we have the hope, and we need to light our world around us. And our spiritual condition, God desires us to have a relationship. That's how we all begin. We can't do anything on our own. It's God inside of us, the Holy Spirit inside of us that we take into our daily lives. And our circumstances, you know, the trials. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, James had a tree and we were to hang what we were thankful for on. And I think one of the most powerful messages I received that day was when Molly got up. She thanked God for her trials because it helped her grow. And that message is so strong. I mean, sometimes we look at our circumstances around us and say, "Why is this happening to me?" Our circumstances prepare us to serve God tomorrow. We don't always have the answers at that moment, but as we go through our circumstances, that's how we grow spiritually. I want to read some scripture. It's if I can find it. Romans 5:3-5. I've got to open up my Bible. And this is the Word of God. Romans 5:3-5. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What that scripture says to me is that our suffering is a step. Like, if there's a couple ways we can go, when we're in our suffering state, when that's happening to us, we could look at and focus on our suffering, or we can focus on why that is happening to us, and what is God trying to teach me today, or what is God trying to teach me through that suffering. And if we have the perseverance to get, you know, to stay, keep our eyes on God, it builds our character as a Christian, and it builds our hope. Our character becomes, you know, hope, and we don't necessarily see all the darkness. We see God's hand working through the darkness and working through our circumstances to prepare us then to reach out and right about this time last year, we thought we were going to be grandparents then. But God had different plans. And I think that's what makes this year, with our expectation of our grandchild, so much more special. But I'm surprised at how many people suffered that same thing. When you talk to somebody and you say about a miscarriage, oh, we lost our first. You know what I mean? Like, that pain makes you empathetic or sympathetic with other people, and you can use that and give them encouragement, like, well, yeah, we struggled through that too, but look, we, you know, God's plan and everything. It wasn't easy at the time. I wanted to take the tree down that day, but but we made it through, you know, and that other experiences that are tough at times, you know, develop us so that we can be useful for God. And I said earlier, God still has a plan. God's not finished with mankind yet. And God still loves mankind. He calls them his sheep. And we as servants need to take that love, or, you know, carry that love to mankind, is the best way I guess I can say it. God loves mankind, and as Christians, we need to continue and to also love mankind. And the second scripture I wanted to read was 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister who they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. That's a tough verse right there, because we have to ask ourselves, do we love God? The Bible has that question. Do we love God? We cannot love God if we don't love our brothers and sisters in this world. And I think there's another scripture at the commandments. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And then in the Good Samaritan, we see the Samaritan comes and renders aid to a person who he didn't even know. And then he said, well, who is my neighbor? You know, so that question is basically, the world is our neighbor. You know, the people we meet every day, we may not know their name, but they are our neighbor. And we need to carry God's love to them. We have that hope in us. We have the light in us. And we need to share that with the world, with our neighbor. And The next scripture, John 21:15-17, kind of just takes that a little further, or explains it as well. So John 21:15-17. John 21:15-17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So sheep, that's Jesus, that's mankind, God's creation. So if we love God, we have to love our neighbors and to serve God through sharing the light in the world. And also on Thursday, one of the praises I shared was that God is in the details of our everyday life. And, let me ask the question, how do we share that light with the world? I think sometimes we try to put a spotlight, just put a big spotlight up there and shine it at the people who are lost and say, "This is the light. You need to see the light." If you put a spotlight in someone's eyes that's been in darkness, you're blinding them. They won't see nothing but it won't mean anything, I guess is what I'm trying to say. If we know someone in our life, an acquaintance who doesn't know the Lord, doesn't have, you know, them in their life, living a lifestyle that doesn't please the Lord, whatever the situation may be, I think the first step to reaching that person is we need to respect that person and their choice, because God gives us the choice. God gives them the choice. You know, we know because we've experienced the Holy Spirit what's best for that person to find joy in life. But we need to respect that person's decision. Maybe they don't want that. So rather than pushing, I think we just need to live and reflect God, that they would see that, and then ask questions. You know, maybe why is your life together? Why, you know, why can you handle this situation and I seem to be falling apart? And we can share then, Jesus is inside me. You know, I have that hope. I have that peace. I have the Holy Spirit that strengthens me and carries me through those tough times. But I think, you know, the church tries to solve the problem right away. And it's really the work of the Holy Spirit. When it all comes down to it, the Spirit has to prick that person's soul and wake them up to accept or to even search for the Holy Spirit or for God's relationship in their life. And I kind of got jumbled there in my pattern there, but I mentioned that God is in the details of our life. When we see that happen, I shared just a simple story. I'm in construction. We were doing concrete work, and there was a drain that we needed to line up with an existing drain, and we didn't have a lot of space to work. So we shot a transit height. This is the height we need to find. We dug the dirt away, uncovered the pipe, and the pipe was to the eighth of an inch of height that we needed it to be at. My son says, "Oh, that's scary how that worked out." I said, "Well, you got to give God the glory." And I think God is in the details of our lives. Let's use those experiences and share those experiences with the world, with people that may doubt that God is not for them. And when we share that God has us in the palm of his hand, like he, it's just, we cannot humanly comprehend the love that God has for us, that he has the details of our everyday down to the, you know, minute fraction of an inch of what needs to happen. And just live in that joy, live in that peace, knowing that God has us in his hands. And I think if we openly give God the credit for that, and in our conversations, just share, not threateningly, but just share, man, God is great. God, you know, and offer God's blessings to people we come across. You know, just slowly shine that light into the dark world. I think that's where we'll have our most, be most effective in reaching someone who may not know God, that he does exist and he does love them and he is what is actually best for them in their life. In closing then, it's God's world, we're living in it. God is still in control. God is still in charge. It's his creation, it's his world. He has a plan to save it, and that plan's already in motion. Jesus was born, the light came into the world. Our way back to God was provided. So God's plan is still being lived out. Even though the world just seems lost and not very nice most days, that's incorporated in God's plan. That's not outside the realm of what he's expecting. You know, he knows that some people will reject him, but he knows that some people will accept him too. And that opportunity to reach the lost is how we need to live our lives in a focus to reach them. We must love the world, not the evil in the world, but the people in the world. We must not stop loving the people in the world. They need God more than ever. And we, like I said, we have the hope, and that was born on Christmas. Jesus, the light of the world, came in with the plan, with our forgiveness, with our salvation in his hand that he brought to us. It's living in us, and we can take it everywhere we go. That's the neat thing about, too, the Holy Spirit and our spiritual walk. We don't have to come to church to get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's right here. Let's take it everywhere we go. And let's keep God close to us. Talk about him daily with people we meet. God is in the details. And keep him in our conversations. Don't let the darkness and the evil in the world harden your hearts. Keep shining the light of Jesus into those around us. Pastor James brought a couple scriptures. He brought the whole Bible, but a couple scriptures that he focuses on. One was carry each other's burdens, and this way you fulfill the law of the love of Christ. And then Galatians 6:9, I think, is so appropriate for this message. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's Galatians 6:9. God is not done yet. Let's decide to keep working for his kingdom. This is my Father's world. This is still God's world. So I'd like to wrap up the sermon, the message with, "This is my Father's world." We can sing that together.